And so we're just going to take a couple of minutes to hear what revelation God wants to reveal to us. Is that okay? Can we do that? Yes, we would do offering at the end. Thank you. You can fade that track out for me, please. Thank you. So just take one, because as Holy Spirit's been moving and speaking, I don't want to act like he's not here and then be praying and asking God to do something when he's already flowing and moving. So I'm going to just jump right into the teaching. Is that okay? And I already know the word is going to come forth unhindered, unchecked by outside forces. We know Jesus is going to get all the glory because signs, wonders, and miracles will follow us because we're believers. And he's going to demonstrate signs, wonders, and miracles through our lives as a result of what we hear today. And we already know. Just take like 5 seconds to just say, Father, thank you for revelation. Just say, thank you, Lord, for revelation. All right, so do you receive it? You didn't just repeat it because I asked you to repeat it. Do you receive it? Okay. So because you receive the revelation now, so let's dig into this thing. So we're still talking about halftime adjustments, and the Lord has been talking to us and drawing us to these greater places of intimacy. And one of the things that the Lord spoke is that this is a time of intimacy, clarity, revelation, heightened sensitivity to him and the things of God, as well as graceful movement, meaning the actions and the movement that he has us take will be with grace. It's like the way I can just describe it. It's like when you see a dancer, how when they move gracefully, that's how God is going to have us move in this season as well as the next. It's with a sense of grace, a sense of ease, and the unforced rhythms of grace. And so one of the things that I said the last time I shared was that if we interpret what God is saying based upon our previous experience, then the previous experience will be the limitation to what we can experience in our present as well as our future. So we have to make sure that as God is speaking to us, that we're not trying to filter and interpret what he's saying based on what we have heard or experienced in the past. Now, our brains will naturally, when we learn something, try to assimilate new information with old information. That's just a scientific fact with learning theory. However, we don't learn from our natural minds. We learn from our spirit man first. And then we allow what is deposited in our spirits to impact our minds. And so when our minds tries to put new, what it classifies as information, and categorize it with the old, we have to allow ourselves to say, no, this is revelation. And we have to be open to what God is saying to us so that we don't try to, oh, I've heard that before. Or I've read this before. Or I've never seen that, so it must be a demon. Because the Lord is always expanding our understanding of who he is. And he's always inviting us to go deeper with him. Remember, revelation will extend an invitation to think, live, and operate at a higher level. And when that revelation comes, Quincy, we have to make the decision to either go to that new place that the Lord is inviting us to, or to stay at the place where he met us. And he will still love us either way, but choosing the latter is what causes us to walk in the greater, say greater. And so experience does not always produce wisdom, because the world will tell you experience is the best teacher, which it is not. That's a lie. Holy Spirit is the best teacher. Some stuff I don't have to experience. I'm good. I'm just saying. Peter got crucified upside down for everybody because I ain't gotta experience that. And when I say for everybody, I'm not saying to take away sin. I'm just saying. So let me make that clear for folks on the internet. what he experienced, I don't have to, or we don't have to experience. And so sometimes, even in the world, when we see people who have made it to what we would classify as success, and we would see their struggles, their hardships, we have to recognize, wow, there are lessons to learn from their story. I don't have to repeat their story or their experience. Just because it was hard for them doesn't mean it has to be hard for me. Just because it was hard for somebody else doesn't mean it has to be hard for you. Their journey does not have to be your journey. Because experience doesn't produce wisdom. See, wisdom is produced when we yield to Holy Spirit and what he's showing us. This is how you can be, it doesn't matter your age, you can have wisdom. And this is why sometimes people can be senior and have zero wisdom, but think they know a lot because of their age. That's why Paul told Timothy, don't let anybody despise your youth. So it doesn't matter how long you've been in the earth. What matters is, did we open ourselves up to receive wisdom from Holy Spirit? Because in Mark 6, we see that example where it said Jesus had just multiplied loaves. And we see that after another incident where Jesus was walking on the water and the scripture said he was going to pass them by because they were rowing and the winds were contrary. So, and then it says they thought he was a ghost. Now, I could go deep with that because to them, the supernatural was normal for them to even think he was a ghost. And so, but he gets on there and then he, you know, things calm down the minute he steps on the boat. And then the scripture says this in Mark 6 and 52, it says they had not learned from the incident of the loaves, meaning that they saw a demonstration of the power of God, but they didn't learn from it. They didn't capture wisdom from it. So it didn't change them in that moment. So it's important that when we communicate with the Lord, and when he uses us to move in certain ways, and when we see him move in certain ways, that we learn from that in order to keep going from glory to glory, faith to faith. Now, here's the next statement. We have to receive revelation from God with a posture of openness. Since God is unlimited, he can do beyond what we have previously experienced, heard, or even learned. Sometimes we think, oh, I've never heard it taught that way, or I've never heard anyone say it that way, or I've never seen anyone do something like that. Doesn't mean it's not God. We have to be open to what Holy Spirit is saying and doing, because he will supersede what we have heard, seen, or even learned so that we can hear, see, and learn something new. Say something new. Now, everything he reveals is always going to be in alignment with his word. He's not going to go beyond scripture, but he will unfold and reveal scripture in a deeper way. Because it is time out for the believer to play church and get excited about worship gatherings, but not demonstrate power. There was one scripture, and I can't think of where it is right now, that I read when I was teaching on Thursday to a group of believers, where it talked about that we were given, it's in Isaiah 8, and it might be verse 8, I believe, where it says that we are given as signs and wonders. It says, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders. So you were born and given as a sign and a wonder. And then the next verse, God says, why consult a medium or a spiritist? Meaning that you should be walking in such a degree of hearing the voice of God and demonstrating the kingdom of God and releasing the revelation of God that every psychic and spiritist is out of business because people are coming to you to hear the Lord. Yes. Yes. Glory to God. So as we talk about seeing at a deeper level, we have to understand that in order to receive what God has spoken, we have to first see it. And what God told me about that is that sometimes to get the thing that we want, there's something else we have to receive before we can receive the thing that we want. You guys get that? Let me do it this way. So I'm gonna use a thing. For example, this is something I'm believing God for. I'm not believing God for a microphone. Whatever this proverbial thing is that you're believing for, this is it. Okay, so Val, come here. So say I need to receive this. She is playing Holy Spirit. She is not Holy Spirit. She's playing Holy Spirit. And so I want to receive something. I want to receive that object from Holy Spirit, right? However, sometimes there's something else I need to receive before I can receive that. Because we look at the thing we want, not realizing there's something in the in-between space that we have to receive that will position us to receive the thing we want.
Right.
You guys got it?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where some of us are, where we see what God has spoken to us and we want that. But in this moment, God is revealing, yeah, there's something at halftime that you have to receive that will position you to receive the goal.
Yes.
And so you can turn your devices or your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 2, because this is where we're going to spend the majority of our time today. And so that's where we are. But sometimes we don't know what that middle thing is that we need to receive that positions us to receive the goal. But today, God is opening eyes and releasing deeper understanding so we can see that middle thing, we can receive it, and then that positions us to receive the ultimate thing that we're looking for. Glory to God. Do you believe that? I believe eyes are opening right now in the name of Jesus. Insight is being given right now. You'll never have to question this thing again. So let me read something to you. Nope, I'm going to obey Holy Spirit. I'm going to go right to 2 Kings chapter 2. And we're going to start reading at verse 1. Now, a lot of times when we look at 2 Kings, and particularly this chapter, we think about when Elijah was taken up to heaven and Elijah's posture. A lot of times people pull out the revelation of Elijah's faithfulness and how he received the double portion. You know, some people say the double portion of the anointing. Well, the scripture doesn't say anointing. It was more than that. And then some folks have mistakenly taught, because it says of his spirit, somebody has mistakenly taught that God took Elijah's spirit and put on Elijah. Now, God ain't doing that either. That's foolishness. God doesn't take the spirit of a person and put it on a person. He doesn't do that. Because our spirits, when they leave our bodies, they go back to God.
Right.
He doesn't take part of you to put on somebody else. And so we have to understand, even though the Bible is literal, we have to understand what they meant by what they said when they said what they said. So it wasn't the anointing, because that's a reduced version of what happened. And it wasn't Elijah's spirit either. It was the measure of Holy Spirit that was upon Elijah. That measure was placed on Elijah double, in a double measure. Because remember, in the Old Testament, Holy Spirit came upon. He didn't live within. Now, under this covenant, Holy Spirit not only comes upon us, but he lives within us. And a lot of times we forget he comes upon us, because we're focused on the fact that he lives in us and our body is the temple of Holy Spirit. True. But Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power. So Holy Spirit comes upon us just like he did all throughout human history, but he also lives in us and has a habitation in us and on us and around us. That's why we are never out of the presence of God.
Right.
We are always in his presence. So, but we're going to pull out something deeper about Elijah's posture, because what he wanted was the double measure of Holy Spirit that was upon Elijah. But there was something he had to see in order to get it. And he had to ask for it. Remember, in this season, we said you want to ask specific questions to receive specific answers. So he had to ask. In Matthew 7, Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you." And then he said, "For everyone who asks, receives." Meaning that in order to receive a thing, you have to ask. So in 2 Kings chapter 1, and notice this, Elijah's name, this is only the second occurrence we hear about Elijah. The first time we heard about Elijah, he was plowing, and Elijah came and threw his coat over him because the Lord told Elijah that Elijah would be his successor. So Elijah came. He didn't say, "You know, the Lord told me you're supposed to follow me and you're going to be my successor to walk out this prophetic assignment when I'm gone." He didn't say that. It was almost like when you read it, you almost get the impression like he was just like, whatever, like, here, dude, and just kept walking. Elijah recognized that that was a moment where things shifted. And so he left his parents and followed Elijah. But we don't hear anything else from him until this point. His name is not mentioned in Scripture ever again until this point. Which means for us, there can be times when we can have a moment with the Lord that's pivotal and shifting and changes everything for us, and then be in the background for years in preparation. A lot of times we hear this from the Lord and we want to make a business card, build our website, and start doing live streams every day. But what if the Lord is saying you might need to be prepared in the background where nobody knows your name, so that when it's time for you to step into something, you step into it in a greater measure? So it says, and it came about when the Lord was about to take Elijah by a whirlwind to heaven, that Elijah went with Elijah from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elijah, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elijah said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Now, Elijah had to be very sensitive in this moment, because I was thinking, I might have wanted to stay. Not because I wouldn't want to follow the man of God, but because he said stay.
Right.
Elijah told Elijah, "Stay here." Now, out of submission, he could have stayed, but he would have missed something. So he had to be sensitive to know, okay, I know you're telling me to stay, but I know I'm not supposed to stay. I'm supposed to follow you. So he spoke it, "Hey, I'm going, as the Lord lives and as you live, I'm not leaving." So then they kept going. So we have to be even sensitive. This was like a moment of testing for me when I read it. I was like, man, this was like a moment of testing. We have to be sensitive of a moment of choosing and testing. Because he could have stayed in obedience, but he would have missed what God had for him. So he recognized, nope, God is doing something different. I need to stay with you. Even though you told me to stay here, I need to stay with you. So then they keep going. So in verse 3, it says, then the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elijah and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord would take away your master from over you today?" And he said, "Yep, I know, be still." You know, other verses, he said, "Hold your peace." Some modern translation said, "Be quiet." It was like, "Hush it." Now imagine these other prophets could discern what was about to happen, right? That's very important. Because sometimes people can discern what's going to happen, but not even posture themselves to receive from what's happening. There's a difference between discerning the move of God and participating in the move of God and receiving from the move of God. Everybody can prophesy, we're in the season of the glory. But are we taking advantage of being in the season of the glory? So then it says, verse 4, Elijah said to him, Elijah, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho approached Elijah and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And he said, yes, I know. Be still. Now, this is like a confirming word. He goes to one city in the prophets, in the prophetic school of prophets. They come and tell him Elijah's going to be taken up. They go somewhere else, the prophetic school of prophets, say the same thing. So God is apparently speaking and releasing, hey, Elijah is leaving the day. And the prophetic people are picking it up. Elijah knows, but he's like, look, don't speak on it. So we have two different groups of prophets who know what's happening. And they bring it to Elijah's attention. And Elijah's posture was, I need to stay with Elijah. I need to stay on my assignment. I need to stay faithful to my assignment. Sometimes you can know a transition and a shift is happening, but the Lord would have you stay, ride that thing out until it is totally complete. And so, verse 6, it says, Elijah said to him, please stay here, for the Lord sent me to the Jordan. And he said, as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. Now 50 men of the sons of prophets went and stood opposite them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Elijah took his mantle, folded it together, struck the waters, and they were divided here and there, so they crossed over on dry ground. Now, it's hard for me to read past that without thinking about when Israel crossed the Jordan and they had to have the priest carry the ark. What was a one-time demonstration now was the normal for Elijah. I'll wait a second and let that hit you. Because when we read that, when Joshua and them had to cross the Jordan, they had to believe God. They had the faith for it because God had parted the Red Sea for them. But they had to have the ark, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant to step and stand in and before all of Israel to cross over on dry ground, right? But now Elijah, that's a normal occurrence. So what people used to think was a special occasion is the normal as we continue to walk with the Lord. Because he didn't have to step and believe. He just, it said he took his coat and slapped it and it parted. So could it be that the thing that used to be have to happen at a height of a moment with God is to be the normal? Could it be what people used to believe God for to see and happen in years we see daily? Because the supernatural of God is our normal. So they struck it. He struck it. They walked over on dry ground. And verse 9 says, when they crossed over, Elijah said to Elijah, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. What did he tell him to do? Ask. He told him to do what? Ask. He said, ask what I'm going to do for you before I'm taken. Then Elijah said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So Elijah's desire was to have the double portion of Holy Spirit be upon him as he began to function now as the basically the lead prophet of that time. He said, look, I know what you operate in, because one scripture later says that Elijah will pour hands on the water of Elijah. I've seen it because I've been serving in the background. He said, I want what you operate in, but I want it double. But here was the caveat, verse 10. He said, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me, say, if you see me. When I'm taken from you, it shall be so. But if not, it won't be so. I mean, that was very matter of fact. He's like, if you see it, it's going to happen. If you don't see it, you don't get it. But the key was, after he asked, he had to see something in order to receive the thing he was ultimately believing God for. This is why Paul prayed in Ephesians that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. And that word, when you talk about the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, the way that's written grammatically, is called a perfect passive participle. It means that it's an action that was completed in the past, but has continuing results. So the eyes of our understanding were enlightened in the past, and it produces a continual result. And so in this season, and I declare to you and over you that as God opened your eyes now, it's going to have a perpetual and continual result for the rest of your life. That the clarity you receive now will have lasting results forever. And even not just clarity having your questions answered, but I'm talking about there is an increased spiritual insight and view into the realm of the spirit that's happening for his people right now that will forever change you. You won't just get your one question answered. You will never have to have a question again because he will answer them. And you're going to be able to see the move of God all the time. You'll always know how God is moving. You'll always know what he's speaking. You'll always be in the know with the Lord because he's opening your eyes. And it says that, verse 11 says, as they were going along and talking, behold, there appeared, say appeared, meaning something was seen. Something from the realm of the spirit was seen and it appeared. And the fact that it appeared means that they had to see it. So there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire was separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven. Verse 12 says Elijah saw it. So his eyes were open. He saw the experience, which then caused him to be able to receive ultimately what he wanted. See, he didn't know he was going to have to see that thing in order to receive the double portion. All he knew was he wanted the double portion. And a lot of people would say, well, it was his faithfulness. Yeah, his faithfulness, but the faithfulness alone didn't bring the double portion. The fact that he saw something caused him to get the double portion. See, a person can be serving faithfully, but if their eyes aren't open, they won't see a thing to receive a thing. And they could get mad and be like, well, I've been here all this time and ain't nothing happened. Well, you've been here, but have you been seeing something? See, when in this walk with Jesus, we have to see something. Because the scripture says everyone who's led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Meaning positionally, we can operate as sons as we are led. But we are led by revelation and by the voice of Holy Spirit. Because if we are not allowing him to speak to us or show us a thing, then we're operating as children and not an heir. So he had to see a thing in order to receive the thing. But he didn't even know he needed to see that. He probably just thought Elijah could just lay hands and that be it. Sometimes we look for the man of God to lay hands. We like, look, break this, break that, speak this, declare that. But maybe it's not a breaking or a speaking. Maybe it's a seeing that needs to happen. So Elijah saw it, and from that point, his eyes were always open. Because in 2 Kings chapter 6, we know the incident where this nation wanted to come against Israel, and this king was making plans in his bedroom and with his top commanders. But the Lord was revealing it to Elijah, and Elijah would say, look, don't go down that way because they're waiting to ambush you. So much so, he got mad and thought there was a traitor. He called him and said, who is it that's for Israel? I'm telling you, in this season, if we lean into it, our ear and hearing will be so sharp, we'll be able to tell with detail what's happening and speak with specifics. God will not allow a psychic to speak with greater specifics than his people. I'm sorry. But we have to want that. I don't know about you, but I want it. So much so in 2 Kings, so then they sent that army to surround the city because they told him, look, there's a prophet there. Now, you know there was some fear because he sent an army of folks for one man. So some of you, and you're wondering why it seemed like everybody trying to come against you is because the enemy is trying to overwhelm you because he's scared of you because of the anointing that's on your life. So he sent all those people, surrounded an entire city to try to get one man. And then his servant, Elijah's servant, was like, what are we going to do? I almost thought he was going to call him Cletus. When you read that, he's like, what are you going to do, Cletus? He said, what are you going to do? And look at this, though. Elijah said, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16, he told his servant, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. We quote that by faith. Elijah was saying it because he saw it. That wasn't a faith statement for Elijah. He could see it. When you can see something, you don't have to do it, but you don't have to speak something by faith. You're just speaking what you see. That's a whole different ball game. It don't take faith when you see all them angels to say, oh, it's a bunch of angels in the room. When you don't see them, it take faith to say, oh, there are angels in the room. So he spoke it because he saw it, not because of faith. And in verse 17, it says that he prayed and said, oh, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he saw. And then it says, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. So his eyes were open to the point where now he prayed for somebody else's eyes to open. Because of that one incident, when he saw Elijah taken up, his eyes were forever open. And then he was able to pray for his servant's eyes to be open. He'd be like, look, I want you to see what I see. And then he walked in such dominion when those people came after him. In verse 18, he prayed and that they would be struck with blindness, natural blindness. So his eyes were open. Let's dissect that. His eyes were open to the point where not only could he see in the realm of the spirit, he could see in the natural. He could pray for his servant's eyes to be open to the things of the spirit, as well as to seeing the things of the natural. And then he exercised such authority that he prayed for someone's eyes to be blinded in the natural. And they were blinded. And then he leads them out of the city because they were blind. And then prays, and then their natural eyes open again. How did he do that? People would say, well, it's the double portion that he received. Partially true, because his eyes were open. And once they were open, they stayed open. And because he was operating in that place with the Lord, he could help other people get their eyes open, and he could even close some eyes. Isn't that deep? Jesus. So, but in this season, God is opening our eyes. Our eyes are meant to not only see the natural, but see in the realm of the spirit. The eyes of our understanding are being enlightened. Not just as we receive wisdom and revelation, but to actually see some stuff. Where some stuff you won't have to speak by faith because you see the activity happening. And so I remember when I talked about how do we get the most of this halftime adjustment, and I said ask specific questions, receive specific answers, and eliminate assumptions. Now here are three things you can ask yourself. These questions may be very familiar to you because they came to your email this week. The first one is, and this was based off of what Apostle said last week, is there anything that I am missing that's hindering me from receiving what you have for me? Ask the Lord, is there anything I'm missing? Because remember, Elijah didn't know he needed to see Elijah until Elijah told him. So is there anything that I'm missing? And if so, what is it? Because the Holy Spirit will reveal it. Then the second question is, what is required of me in light of what I now know? In light of what's being revealed, what is the response I'm supposed to have? Because we cannot assume our responses. We have to let him direct our responses. Because there are times we can attach our faith to things that God is like, nope, that ain't even how I want you to operate. Right. It's a sign of maturity to ask the Lord, should I believe for it this way? I'm going to believe for it, but should I believe for it this way or another way? Then the third question is this. What needs to happen within me that will allow me to receive all that you have for me? And as Holy Spirit tells us these things, he'll tell us how to address them. Amen. Amen. Y'all receive that? Amen. Glory to God. You receive that word? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.